This chapter 2 tonight, I was talking with Adam just a little bit ago, and he made mention that his boss he works for, his boss is at least claims to be a Christian man. He told Adam, he says, you know, I think the Lord brought you to me so that I could get you to understand that you need to soften up on your doctrine. Wow. That's not what Paul told Timothy. And that's certainly not what Paul told Titus. And that's not what God has told any of us. And so, Adam, don't soften up. I don't think you were planning on it anyway, but it's amazing. People who call themselves Christians and what they do in this world anymore. Tonight, we're going to be looking at, I know there's been a lot of discussion around about this topic. And we're going to be dealing with the blessed hope. Some call it the rapture. I like to use biblical terminology for things. But the blessed hope, and tonight we're going to be dealing with the reality of it, And then we will deal with different things like the timing of it and all of that. Tonight's going to be the start. And several weeks we got planned on this. Well, whatever it takes, whether it's three, whether it's five. But see, here's the thing. You know, people can say, well, I believe in a pre-tribulational rapture, or I believe in a mid-tribulational rapture, I believe in a post-tribulational rapture. The newest one out there is I believe in a pre-wrath rapture. That didn't even exist several years ago. It's kind of a new thing that came up. And the thing is, why? Why do you believe it? How many of you would say, I believe in a pre-tribulational rapture? Would you raise your hand? Okay, that would be the vast majority. The question is, do you know why? And when we're done with this, we will have looked at the Word of God and seen what it has to say. So the Bible says we're going to start Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Tonight we're looking mostly at the fact of the rapture. But it says in verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Doesn't matter when that part of the world is, it's this present world. Verse 13, we're looking for something. As you live day by day, as you live denying ungodliness, as you live denying worldly lust, as you live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, it didn't matter whether it was the time of the Apostle Paul or whether it's today, as you live, you are to live looking for something. Can Jesus Christ come today? Well, I'm looking for it. And if you're living biblically, you're going to be looking for it to happen. And so it says, looking for that blessed hope. And then it says, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And the thing is, by looking for Jesus, you get up in the morning and say, today is the day. That is going to help you to live the right kind of life because you're living with that expectation, I could meet Jesus today. And it is the blessed hope. So let's pray, and we will look at several passages of Scripture tonight. Father, I ask that you would help us as we look tonight at the fact of the rapture, the fact of the blessed hope. And Father, just look at the reality and look at the way that the Bible lays things out. God, I ask that you would give wisdom. I pray, Father, that you would help us to come to a very good understanding of your word. And then, Father, to see what it means to us in our daily life and make it applicable. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture, and we're just going to work our way through these. You might look at it and say, oh, this is a little bit tedious. I think a Christian ought to love the Word of God. We ought to be able to take it and examine it and look at it verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. It says, for our conversation. Remember in your King James Bible, you see the word conversation. It is lifestyle. Okay, conversation today in modern English means more of what you're talking about. In Old English, when it was written, it means lifestyle. For our conversation is in heaven. Is your lifestyle in heaven? What if your lifestyle was in heaven? Would you be kicked out? Something to think about. from whence also we look. So what are we doing? We're looking from heaven toward heaven, looking from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change. What is he going to change? He's going to change our vile body. You know what I have? I am trapped. My soul, my spirit, my redeemed, quickened, born-again spirit is trapped in a vile thing. It is called this flesh. This flesh is evil. This flesh wants to sin. This flesh wants evil on a regular and continuous basis. If this flesh were let go, this flesh could participate in any of the sins that are out there, and this flesh would go toward that. The thought of that is horrendous to the spirit. But there are people who live in the flesh every day, and they live for the flesh. Jesus is coming. I'm looking for him to come. I'm looking for him to come and change this vile body. Didn't say he's given me a completely different body. He says he's changing our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So Jesus Christ, it says here, we are looking for him to come from heaven, and he is going to give us a body that will be like his glorious body. The one that he had when he was raised from the dead. The one that could appear in a room when the doors were locked. The one that could ascend up into heaven. The one that could go up. You know, they watched him ascend. I wonder how fast he went when he got beyond the clouds. You know, what a body. A sinless body without that sin nature that we got from our great-great-grandfather and on back, several greats, Adam. I want my body changed. And I'm looking forward to that day. I hope that you're not so attached to this world that you look at it and say, well, I don't want it to happen today. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. You might want to take notes. I welcome you to. Make sure that you're able to listen at the same time. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35, and we're going to work our way on down. So this is dealing with the fact of the resurrection, the fact of the coming of Jesus Christ, the fact of the changing of our vile body. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Well, Philippians answered that question. It said, with a body like unto the glorious body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thou fool, verse 36 it says, what is a fool? A person who has said in his heart there is no God. Or a person who is living like there is no God. If you read the word fool in Proverbs, it's a person that's living like as if there were no God. And so we see, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it pleaseth him, and to every seed his own body. So he says, look, you go out, you plant stuff every single year. You put that seed in the ground. Does the same thing come up as what you plant in the ground? In a way, yes, but it's different. It's better. You plant one seed in the ground. How many of you like a corn on the cob? I like corn on the cob. You put one seed in the ground and up comes a stalk. It doesn't look like the seed that you put in the ground, does it? But then it bears ears of corn. That's kind of glorious, isn't it? It's different, it's better, but for that to happen, something had to die. All right, so we go on. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Okay? Jesus' new body is a body what? Celestial. The bodies that we're in is a body terrestrial. That means earthly. It's just a body that is bound and connected to the rules of this earth. But the glory of the celestial is one. That's his glorified body. The glory of the terrestrial is another. There's a certain glory that we have in our bodies. It's amazing the healing that God can do. You cut yourself and it heals. It heals back up. You can sew it back together and it heals. You break your leg and it heals. There's a glory to that. And it's God's creation. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So it's just a simple explanation. This is very understandable stuff. The old, decrepit, sin-filled body dies. The one you get is like the plant that comes from the dead seed. It's a glorious thing. It's a spiritual thing. Verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, that's Jesus now, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Guess what? You got to have a natural body before you can get your spiritual body. That's why Jesus says you need to be born again. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven, comparing Adam and Jesus Christ there. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. I got this body from Adam. It's sinful because Adam was sinful. The next body that I get from Jesus Christ. And it will be a sinless, perfect body. It is different. These things are not the same. They are different. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. What is the image of the earthy? Well, pretty much we have a semblance. We look at least somewhat like our fathers and our mothers, right? We bear that semblance. And that semblance goes all the way back to Noah and all the way back to Adam. There are features. It's a genetic code that's in every single person all the way back to Adam. We bear resemblances. We all resemble one another in certain ways. So we bear the image of the heavenly. Can you imagine that? You're going to be like Jesus. What a good thing. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, look at it, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You don't go to heaven in the body that you have now. You go to heaven, you get the body that you'll have then. Behold, I will show you a mystery. Okay, now, when the New Testament speaks of mysteries, it's because it was something that was hidden in the past, but it's now being revealed. And he says, I'm going to show you a mystery. He's not presenting a mystery. He's showing them something that the Old Testament did not grasp 100%. They had a thought about it. They had an idea about it. They knew about it, but it was a mystery. He says, I'm going to make that clear to you. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So not every one of us are going to die, but every one of us, saved people now, will get a new body. Okay, not everyone will die. Everyone will get a new body. How's it going to happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now you notice there, the word we. Was Paul expecting this to happen in his lifetime? He was looking for it, folks. He says, we. There's an expectation there. We shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now, this is the passage that is the fact. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. Some people are going to get their new body by dying. Some are going to get their new body while they're still living. God's just going to change them. It's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Victory over death. This is the fact of the rapture. Turn to Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse 36. Luke 24, verse 36. I want to show you a little bit about this body that Jesus Christ got. It says, and as they thus spake, Luke 24, verse 36. I want everybody to see these straight out of the Bible. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. So Jesus' body, it was the same body, right, that he was buried in. He took that body back, but it was changed. What changed about it? Well, there's no blood. Flesh and bones, as you see me have. This body could go through a door into a locked room. This body, though, still held the wounds, the holes that were there. I don't know if that's only for Jesus or whether we're going to have different attributes along the way as well. It didn't affect him. But he says to Thomas, you can put your finger right there, and maybe it's just for Jesus so that he can show, I'm the one that died for you. I don't know. I don't have strong Bible basis for that one way or another. It says, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? He says, I'm going to prove this further. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. This truly is a glorious body, isn't it? You get to eat before them some fish and some honeycomb, and you know what? It's not a spirit. He didn't put the food in and it fall on the floor. He was a physical body, and he had the same body, but changed. Now turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Say, this is not an unusual concept. You know, people look at it and there is a vast departure from even believing that there will be a blessed hope, that there will be a rapture in today's Christianity. It's not an unusual thing. It's not a strange thing. The Sadducees that did not believe in the resurrection at all, it's almost like they didn't even know the Old Testament scriptures, though they were supposed to be masters in the Old Testament scriptures. It says in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Enoch was translated. What does that mean? The same thing that you saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He was alive, and God changed his body and gave him a glorious body without him having to die. He was just changed. He is a picture of the catching away of the church. He is a picture of the blessed hope from the Old Testament. Turn, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And here we see the second person that was translated. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. 2 Kings 2:11. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked. And who was talking? It was Elisha and Elijah. Okay? And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. Now, if you read about the throne of God, and I'm not saying this chariot was the throne of God, but the throne of God is described as a wheel in the middle of the wheel and being a fiery thing in the book of Ezekiel and in the book of Daniel. So it's no doubt and no surprise that God would send a fiery chariot down. These things exist. We don't see them with our eyes, but they're real. I believe it was Elisha that was on the mountain, and he said, God, open the eyes of my servant that he may see the armies that are for us. And when he opened his eyes, he was able to see the spiritual world. These things are real. They're really there. We just can't see them because we are bound by this physical body. But I believe when we get our glorious body, we'll see it all. And it'll be a fascinating thing. So it says, and a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Wow. And parted them both asunder. So the chariot and the horses come between Elijah and Elisha. And I'm sure Elisha at this point is stepping out of the way when he sees this thing coming. And then it says, Elijah went up by a whirlwind into what? Heaven. He went to heaven. In a whirlwind, after the fiery chariot came down and said, Elisha, move over. This whirlwind's only taken Elijah. He was translated. Elijah got his new body when he was taken to heaven. It was the same body, but it was changed. Just like what will happen when the rapture takes place. You'll be in the same body, but it'll be changed. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. So how do we know what really happened to Elijah? Well, Elijah was still there in heaven. And Elijah comes down and has a talk with Jesus. Matthew 17 and verse 3. It says, and behold, there appeared unto Moses, behold, there appeared unto them, the disciples, Moses and Elias talking with him. So Elijah comes down and talks with Jesus Christ. Now, how does he do that? He's got a glorious body, like unto the body that Jesus Christ was raised in. Elijah, he was still in his body. He came down from heaven in his own body. He lives in his own body, but that body was gloriously changed, just like the body of Enoch, and just like what is going to happen in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when we are changed and our vile body will be changed. And so he has that. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Verse 21, John 11, verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. That'd be quite a testimony for our prayer life, wouldn't it? Martha saith unto him, verse 23. Jesus saith unto him, her, thy brother shall rise again. Now Martha is going to give the information that she knows. She says, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Okay? That's the knowledge that she had. She didn't know the mystery yet. It hadn't been revealed yet, the mystery of 1 Corinthians 15. But he says this, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Okay, that's the first thing. Those that die, but yet will be alive. Okay, that's going to happen. That happens to the majority of people. And then he shows a different group. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So there's a group coming. They're going to be alive when this takes place. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me when this change takes place, they are going to be changed. They aren't going to have to go through death. And he says, do you believe this? Martha's sitting there thinking, whoa. You know, I've heard about the resurrection. There's some stuff in the Old Testament included about that. But this is something a little bit different. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She didn't exactly say, I believe that. But she said, I believe in you. And if you're saying it, it's true. And if Jesus said it, it's true. And if the Word of God states it, it's true. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll deal a little bit in Thessalonians today, and then we'll get more into it in coming weeks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Here the Thessalonian church is. They've got some questions. The Word of God answers their questions. But I would not have you to be ignorant who? So who is it? Saved people, right? The church. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Okay, those are the people who have died and yet shall live, right? That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. It's not the end for believers that die. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, notice the personal pronouns. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So, we which are alive and remain, now that's what we're looking for, right? According to Titus chapter 2, we're looking for it. According to Philippians chapter 3, we're looking for it. And we're looking for that time when the Lord is going to come and he's going to change our vile bodies. And he says, you are not going to go before to pre-event, to prevent them. You're not going to go before those which have already died. To be absent with the Lord is, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Lord brings them with, but yet he raises their body that was buried. They get it glorified. Shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, remember, they're coming with him. The part of them that's with the Lord is coming with them, but the part that died is coming to meet them. It says, again, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, personal pronoun, we. Was Paul expecting this to happen in his day? Yeah, absolutely. He was looking for it. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's fact. It's going to happen. The rapture is coming. Turn to 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1 through 3. And we're going to take this at this point as we have established passage after passage after passage. This is real. This takes place. It happens. And we are going to make it a little bit practical now, as the Bible does. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, us that are still trapped in this vile body, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. He says, look, right now, even in this body, because that when we receive him, he gives us power to become the sons of God. While we are in this body, we are already the sons of God, deserve it or not. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you get to be called a son of God while you're still in this vile body. But there's certain things that we don't quite get yet. Nobody here has been in their glorious body yet. So he says this, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So there's going to be a shall be. There's going to be a time when our body is changed. But we know, what do we know? That when he shall appear, Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Again, Paul writes with expectation. We shall see him as he is. Think about it. He comes in his glorious body, and we get to see him like he is now. And when he does, if we're alive, our body gets changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're caught up together with them in the air. So the dead are raised. Their bodies meet with their spirit once again. Their bodies get changed. We will meet them where? In heaven? No. In the air. In the air. We meet them in the air. We see Jesus as he is. And then all of a sudden, in this thing, it's happening. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this vile body takes on the glorious image of the body of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. Now, verse 3 says, every man that hath this what? Hope. Okay, this what? This blessed hope. Every man that has this hope in him, in Christ, purifieth himself even as he is pure. We're looking at that glorious body of Jesus Christ. And we're looking at it and we're saying, you know what? I want to take this vile body. I can't get rid of the sin nature out of it. I wish I could. But I'll tell you what. I can drive out the rock music. And I can drive out the pornography. And I can drive out the wrong words. And I can drive out the wickedness and the lust and all of those things that this body... And I can say, look, I want this body to be filled with the Word of God and full of the Holy Spirit of God, and I don't want room in my life for all this other garbage. A person that looks with expectation on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, that's what I'm going to be. Let me get started now. Let me change now. Let me fall in line with the Word of God now. Let me put off all of the wickedness of Adam that I inherited. Let me put it off now, because I'm looking forward to the expectation of Jesus Christ. Are you living like he could come today? Are you living with that expectation? Are you living with the fact that you could meet Jesus in the air 10 minutes from now? How about tomorrow? I don't know. Can you imagine? Boom, you hear the trumpet. And you're in the middle of a lie. I don't want to be in the middle of a lie. Well, how can I assure that I'm not in the middle of a lie when Jesus comes? I don't know when he's coming. Well, I better not be telling lies. Can you imagine? You're listening to devilish music. Nobody knows. They're not around. And you're listening to that, and all of a sudden, well, wait a minute. Where'd that trumpet sound come from? That wasn't in there the last time I listened to it. And boom, you're standing there face to face with Jesus Christ. I don't want to be involved in wickedness when I meet my Lord. I don't want to feed this flesh. How are you living? How are you living? Can you imagine the vileness of being under the influence of alcohol when the trumpet sounds? Can you even fathom that? Can you imagine being under the influence of some narcotic, some drugs, when the trumpet sounds? What wickedness. See, God says, look, we're to be looking for a Savior. He's coming. Is that real in your life? Or is that something that's out there and you look at it as some kind of science fiction thing? All through the Bible, this change, this translation takes place. It's there. It's visible. It's real. Jesus Christ is coming. It says, we shall be like him. I want to elaborate on that just a moment. Genesis 1:26. Look at this. Turn to Genesis 1:26. Also be working on Psalm 17. Psalm 17. So both of those passages, we're going to go one right in to the other. So here we go. And God said, let us make man in our image. Now man is in the image of God. Today, man is in the image of God. We hold the image of God. It says it in Corinthians, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 11. But let us make man in our image. And then it says this, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing. And it goes on. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Now here's the thing. We were created in the image of God. That hasn't been lost. But we were created in the likeness of God. When man sinned, they lost the likeness of God. What is the likeness of God? He's holy. He's sinless. Now turn to Psalm chapter 17 and verse 15. Here David writes and he says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. And he says this, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. 1 John 3, it says we shall be like him. See, when Jesus comes back, we get the likeness back. We never lost the image, body, soul, spirit, the picture of the Trinity, but the likeness. Do you walk in the likeness of God? There's no sin in God. But I'll tell you what, David says, I'm going to be satisfied when I awake. One day I'm going to go to sleep. He wasn't looking for the rapture. He knew he was going to die. We're looking for it. And when we get to awake one day. We hear a trumpet one day and we awake in his likeness. We get the likeness of God back. 2 Timothy 4, we end here tonight. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8 says, this is the Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, writing to young Timothy, or younger Timothy at least. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There is only one faith, by the way. It's the faith that the Word of God lays out. I want and I hope that all of us are striving as a church to hold the faith. The faith. We don't have to mix it with tons of different faiths. There is the faith and it is the Word of God. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians, in Thessalonians, he said, look, I am living with the expectation. I am looking for that blessed hope. I am excited about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. It could happen in my lifetime. Now, the Apostle Paul, he gets old. He realizes, you know what? I may meet the Lord through death. I'm old. I'm sick. I'm dying. It could be that the Lord is not going to come yet. While I'm still alive, I may go to meet him through death. I may be the one that says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he comes to that realization at the end of his life, still looking for the appearing, but realizing it may not happen in my lifetime. And he says this, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And he says, not to me only, but unto all them, every saved person that lived with the love of his appearing in mind. Also, and unto all them also that love his appearing. If you live with the expectation that Jesus Christ is coming, and you, 1 John, purify yourself as he is pure, because you understand that you're going to meet him and you will be like him, and your vile body will be changed, and you live your life denying ungodliness and worldliness and looking and living that sober, righteous, godly life, he can come today. There's a crown for that. There's a crown for that. I believe Satan, in everything that is in him, is trying to get us distracted. There are more mind-consuming things on this planet today than there, well, I'm not going to say than there ever have been. I have no idea what it was prior to the flood. I don't know what it was like. But there are more time-consuming things today that steal the mind and steal the time of Christian people, so that Christian people go through entire days without a thought of the second coming of Christ. How many of you have gone through an entire day without a thought of the second coming of Christ? I'm the preacher, and I guess probably I have. Should I? No. No, I should get up in the morning. I should get up in the morning and I should think, today could be the day. Jesus could come today. I'm looking for his appearing today, and I'm going to live like with the expectation of his appearing today. And Paul says, I've lived like that, and there's a crown laid up for me, because I have lived with the love of his appearing in my mind. So what is the love of that appearing? Put it in practical terms. In January, there's a young man going to stand down here, and he's going to be watching that back door. And he's turning red. And you know what? There's going to be an expectation that somebody's going to come through that door. Right? And he can't wait for that person to come through that door. And there's an expectation that that day is going to... Now he knows the date. How many days? Yeah, I have no clue, honestly. If you had asked me how many days, I'm like, I don't know. 89 days! There's an expectation, right? We understand what that little fluttery thing does to a person. They're living with expectation. Hey, they're loving the appearing of that day. Oh, that we could have that love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could live our life with that love of his appearing. It'd clean us up, wouldn't it? I could do a whole lot less preaching against sin if we would just get that down. You understand that? I say, wow, if I shape up, he preaches on sin less. Yes! It is. It's true! It is. Do you love his appearing? I hope that you do. It's a fact. It's a reality. It's coming, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Isn't the Word of God good? Amen. It absolutely is. We'll continue looking at this. Let's stand to our feet.